Chapter 3, as we continue our study, don't know how long we've been at it now, but...
Well, bro.
What a great family school time we had. One of the shortest, I think, but very powerful.
Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples to the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptized at Enon near Salim, because there was much water there, so obviously they weren't just sprinkling him. The reason he was baptizing, because there was much water, okay? And they came and were baptized. That's not the message today, but... And John was not yet cast into prison, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, they're talking about Jesus, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I'm not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Just hearing his voice gives me joy. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. I pray you'd bless it to your hearts. Give me power and clarity.
Yeah.
And let me do what you set forth to do. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go to Luke chapter 7.
Matthew, Mark.
Jesus is going to make an incredible statement about the man we just read about, John the Baptist.
Cardboard here, maybe. It's too floppy.
Verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's pretty good when you think about Elijah and Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Moses. But he that is least in the kingdom of God, if you're saved, that's what you're part of. Is greater than he. That's pretty amazing. The guy that preceded Jesus Christ, he was sort of his... You know, when a big shot comes to town, they send someone ahead with a press release? That's kind of what John the Baptist was, a predecessor. He died a martyr's death. And he said, but anyone that's in the kingdom of God, remember, without the death of the testator, there's no New Testament. So it's not until Jesus died, was buried, and rose again was there a New Testament. John wasn't around for that. He died previous. So he wasn't a New Testament saint, if you will. He wasn't in the body of Christ like you that are saved are. So when he says the least person in the kingdom of God, the church age in which we live, is greater than John the Baptist. Are you serious? You know what I think he's talking? I think he's talking positionally. The low-down, lowest hobo that's part of the body of Christ, positionally, is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, is baptized into Jesus Christ. Positionally, he's in a greater position. But practically, I don't think practically the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Would you like to be like John the Baptist? Practically? I'm going to give you a point this morning that God led me to, and I think it fits good for Father's Day. Go to John chapter 1. And if you're visiting here, you're going to get a history, or if you're new, You're going to get a history of our church this morning. John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, Jesus. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, that would be God in the wilderness, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. What made John the Baptist so great? One of those things was he got a vision in the wilderness. What timing for Father's Day. And I'm not talking about a spooky vision. I'm not talking about an extra biblical vision. But I wonder what God could do with a church full of saints that got a vision to serve him. I know it's not woke to say this, but especially fathers and men and young men. I'm convinced that if we could just see where we are at, where you are at in your vocation, in your school, in your home, in your workplace, as a mission field, it'd change your life and probably advance the gospel. Consider this. To God, all souls have the same value. Unless you're a Calvinist, and we're not. You know, we saw that slide up there last week of Seth in that group in Zambia. You realize those souls in the bush in Zambia are of no greater value to God than that joker you work with? That's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, doesn't it seem like the woman with the 5-gallon bucket of water walking through the street of Mozambique would be worth more value to God than the girl with the bone in her nose at the checkout counter? But she's not. Last I read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, here's a thought for you that feel guilty about not being a missionary. Damon Matichera in Zambia and Mark Helzerman in New Guinea and Ted Snyder in Honduras and Doug over there in Spain and Dan and Adam up there in Romania, they have no access to your sphere of influence the same way you have no access to theirs. Why hadn't God called me to the mission field? I submit to you, he has. I submit that he has you where he has you, and if we would just open our eyes.
Exactly.
Maybe the kitchen table, that's what it was for my wife. My wife didn't go on the street with me. I said, that's your mission field right around that table. And you saw today she done did pretty good. Maybe it's a college laboratory. Maybe it's a flat grill in a diner. Maybe it's an office full of cubicles. Maybe it's a street corner. Maybe it's a jungle. They all need Jesus.
That's right, preacher.
Do you see it as a mission field?
Yes, sir.
The question is not, have you been called? The question is, have you answered the call to reach your field?
Good.
Where do I start? Maybe you just need a little vision. Again, not spooky, not extra biblical, just getting on your knees and asking God, give me a vision to reach and light and salt the people that I come into contact with. I did already. I've burned out my sphere of influence. Ask him to renew your vision.
Good.
I know we've been doing a lot of reminiscing. Listen, when you're young, you talk about what you're going to do. When you're in your prime, you're talking about what you're doing. And when you get old, you talk about what you did.
Right.
That's true.
And we've been doing a little bit of that. But listen, you would come and enjoy the comforts of this place. This place is here, and I'm here because one man had a vision that his workplace was a mission field. He answered the call to Building 29 in the armpit of Kodak, it
true.
Was called.
That's true.
Really? He gave me no choice. He gave me no choice. And it's because he could. I understand some of you can't. There was scripture on his walls. There was a worn-out Bible on his desk. There was verses on his whiteboard. In fact, he had these, he was a, what's the big word? I called you.
Expediter.
Expediter.
Handler.
All these people with these big projects are coming to him. We need pipe. We need boy. That was his thing. And he had these requisition forms in the,
right.
The first five letters on it was PPLBA of every one of his requisitions. And I'd be on in his office. They called it the confessional. Where's Camilleri? He's in the confessional with folk.
Right.
And every one of those vendors, he'd read that requisition number, PPLBA, and then he'd give the, I don't know what you cops call the call letters or whatever, but it weren't the ones the cop used. It was Peter, Paul, Lord, Boy, Adam. Huh. And I just go, wow. He was a missionary. And he reached who you're looking at on his mission field. And who you're looking at reached Joe Baldacchino and Craig Burrett and Glenn Ruda and some others on his mission field.
Man, that's right.
You know what John had? He had a vision.
Yeah.
Now, some of you guys could beat Pastor Folk's butt in a fight. But you'd rather die to do what I just told you he did. I wonder what God could do with one that would say, God, give me a vision.
Yeah, amen.
To
right.
reach where I'm at.
Right.
Don't forget, John got a vision in the wilderness. I don't doubt that missions trips and special events are life-changing. You can't deny it. Just look at the record of how many missionaries, ours included, that come through here, present their thing, that were called on a foreign missions trip. They were called to that field. Or maybe they went to a meeting. That preacher the other night, he said, man, that guy was preaching at that meeting and I surrendered. But God help us to never to come to the place that we need a structured missions trip.
True.
To get a vision.
Yeah, that's what we need. Amen.
Listen, if you work at Wegmans, that's your mission field.
Amen.
Because I got news for you. If you rely on a missions trip where sinners respond, you know, where the conditions are bad, sinners usually respond. Where conditions are good, they usually don't. If God hasn't called you there, like to stay, because it was so euphoric, and you get home, you're going to get to despise the field that God has you in.
That's very true.
I think Henry Christian had it right. Henry lived this here.
Yeah, he did.
Henry said, I went to the hospital to do some evangelizing today and had some skin cancer removed while yeah. I was there.
Yeah, right.
When Paul was in a synagogue, it became his mission field. When Paul was on a ship, it became his mission field. When Paul was stranded on an island, it became his mission field. When Paul was in jail, the jailer became his mission field.
Yeah.
When Paul was in a place waiting for friends, he saw the whole city given to idolatry, it became a mission field. When Paul was making tents, it became his mission field. Do you see your field as a mission field?
Hmm.
It'll change your life. It'll make work fun.
Yeah.
You don't understand, preacher. I'm homeschooled. I'm young. I don't get around people. Listen, we're saying where you are is where your mission field. Maybe your church can be the mission field. I bet there's some people in here that need Jesus.
Sure.
You guys in your sports. Has ministry on that field or on that court ever crossed your mind?
Hmm. Yeah.
I'm praying for our young men to get a vision, and I'll elaborate a little bit. It was Charlie's message Wednesday night that rocked me. You sit here, and I don't know if you enjoy it, but enjoy what you enjoy, because 30 years ago, two young men had a vision.
True.
It's different.
But now those two young men are old men. I'm going to throw something out at you. If I could play, I was going to bring a basketball. If I could play, this is what I would do. I would take a survey trip of the nights that you're not playing your other five sports games for fun. I'd get in my car and I'd start in a close radius. I'd go to Holly, and then I'd go to Brockport, and then I'd go to Clarkson, and Hamlin, and Hilton, and I'd try to find the basketball court.
Hmm. Yeah.
Listen, they got lights in Hilton.
Yeah.
And I'd find out when they're playing and how they play. And you know what I'd do? I'd either work my way in, or I'd get the five best friends that I have that play the best, and I'd just kind of make a little team Jesus.
Yeah, excellent. That's beautiful.
And I just go pick up. But what if they swear?
Jeez. Oh, boy.
What if you swear? You're not scared, are you? I mean...
That's a great idea.
I go out there and play, and I wouldn't even wear my Jesus t-shirt the first night. I just go and play, and... What would we have to play against them? I don't know. Get a vision!
That's a good idea.
And I'd put up with what I had to put up with until they cursed Jesus. Then I'd say, oh, praise that name!
That's a great idea.
But I can't play. If I started over.
I think you're right. Right. I think you're right about that. Yeah, really. Oh, I think we have some coming together.
Let me back up about Charlie's message. That video he put out. I thought it was totally inappropriate for church, and I was totally thanking God he played it. After the initial urge to rage, I got a vision. And when that, whatever that was up there singing, that we're going to convert your children, I thought to myself, oh yeah, I'm going to pray that God raises up a group of young men in this church to convert your children.
Yeah.
You know, your president just wrote an executive order against conversion therapy. That means what you believe is now illegal. We told you for 20 years it's coming.
Yeah, I don't know.
In other words, you can't tell someone that this sin is wrong. Let me tell you what conversion therapy is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
That's right. That's good,
except ye be converted, and your sins be blotted out.
That's right. What's wrong with living morally, clean life?
God help us.
Yes.
Well, I got two dads. Yeah, you want to get saved? Let's don't cower. Let's convert their children.
That's right, preacher.
Man.
I'd take a survey trip to find in the closest proximity where the homeless are. And don't say we don't have homeless in the suburb. Dylan, I'm just going to brag on you. I thought by spending a lot of money on cars, I wouldn't have to see this guy anymore. But I ended up in his driveway. And he goes,
"Oh, Dylan."
Well, you know, he talks slow, like me. "Oh, I got to take a little detour in our job today," because I'm sitting there. He goes, "There's not a pastor in the country that would sit with his mechanic for 4.5 hours and entertain him while he works on his car." And I said, "Including the two other ones on our staff." He's at a, wherever he is at the store, and there's a hobo sitting there. "Can you spare a little money?" "Well, I don't have any on me." He goes in the store, he comes out, he goes, "I'll tell you what. If you come, if you're here tomorrow at 2 o'clock, or whatever it was, let's say noon. If you're here tomorrow at noon, I'll give you $20 to come and cut my grass and something to eat."
Huh.
He goes, "Now I got to go get this guy." And he agreed, and I agreed, the guy ain't going to be there. He leaves. I'm sitting there watching the kids, which that's dangerous. And
jeez.
He come back, and he's got John in the car. Little skinny guy gets up. "I'm ready to cut the grass. I'm ready to cut the grass." And I knew he already gave him the gospel. I give him the, he paid that guy $20. I said, "Can I cut your grass?" I'd take some of that bread out there from Panera before all the vultures got it and let half of it rot in their cupboards like we do every week. With my buddies, one Sunday a month, one every 5 weeks, and I'd try to go find some of them, and I'd give them chick tracks and bread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I have 50 people back at my house every Sunday, so I'm not doing it.
Wish I was young again. Oh, I could do it.
Have you ever asked God for a vision to use me? Lord, make my workplace a mission field. Lord, make my kitchen table a mission field. Lord, give me something. I want to do something. Open my eyes. Because he has you where he has you for a reason, and nobody else is going to reach your sphere of influence.
Because there's a lot of poverty there.
Here's why. Lord, some of you guys, I know how it is. If I push doors, especially you school teachers, if I push doors open, I'll get fired. But if you open them up, I'll go through.
Right, exactly. That's right. Yep.
I'm greater than John positionally, but how do I stand up practically? Give me a vision to serve you, show me something, and then give me the boldness to act on it.
Amen.
Listen, Rod Phillips was called from Tennessee to start a church in Lockport. He knocked on 2,000 doors and never got one single, he was one of my mentors, never got one single response. He went and got a job, started a Bible study in his workplace, and First Bible Baptist Church of Lockport is still there 50 years later.
How about that? That's beautiful.
Long ago and far away, J. Folk came to me. I don't think I was saved 9 months. And where we came from had what's called a unified Sunday school. That means they didn't do it the traditional way where you had your Sunday school hour and then you had your worship service hour. Right. It was just because it was so massive and there was so many people to reach. In the main worship hour, they would have the infants and the 2-year-olds and the 3-year-olds and the 5-year-olds and the 7-year-olds and the junior Sunday school and the teen class and the college and career and the senior class, all at the same time. And then all the main people would be in the big building, the big main auditorium there. Well, they had a B Sunday school. While the first group was going out, these buses would go out. And they would bring in 200-300 people from the inner city.
Right.
And they would have the B Sunday school. Those bus workers would work till 4 o'clock. They're out all day Saturday trying to recruit people.
Yep. True.
Well, Brother Jay had a class. And he came to me and said, hey, man, I want to go down in the city where my B Sunday school kids are. And I want to just visit them and stuff. You want to go? If you don't, I'll get someone else. Man, I'm saved 9 months. Okay. Well, I didn't realize where he was taking me.
Right. Right.
I said, if my father sees me down here, he's going to write me out of the will. And we started knocking. He goes, let's stick just to this one street, Sullivan Street. And we're walking, knocking on, and the first door we knocked on, and I could tell stories all day because that's what old guys do. But
right.
And we walked by this open field, and we got a vision.
Right.
He played the guitar.
Wow.
Well, that's right. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me, oh, glory. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me, oh, glory.
Oh,
I could do the old glory.
Oh, boy. Barely.
What if we knocked on every door just on this street over and over and over and said, we're going to have a Monday night church service in that field, sing some songs, preach a little Bible, and we would literally say, you and your husband, your wife, which there wasn't many of those, still ain't, and your kids and the dog, bring grandma, bring everyone. We'll have some snacks. And man, that first week, there was 20 people there.
Nasty old field.
Nasty old field, man. A city lot where the house was
glass. Cans.
And the word got out at our home church that every week we're meeting at this place, and Kenny Beagley joined us, and Manny Sihos joined us, and Roger Genty joined us, and some others joined us, and man, this thing got going. And it got to September, it got cold, and we kind of had a following and kind of needed a place, so there was a place called Action for a Better Community, and these two
stoops
with a vision walked in and said, we want to take some action to better your community.
Oh, boy.
Well, Raphael owns the building. He's got the basement. There's some room down there. Maybe you can use that.
Was it free?
Yeah.
It was free.
Yeah.
We got a church. We weren't called.
6-foot ceiling.
But we had a vision.
Yeah.
Man, we're including. Remember Sister Brown?
Yeah, yeah.
Sister Brown was good. We're up there singing.
Two stiffs,
man. We're it's all African Americans. And I got a little bit of that background in me, you know.
Wow.
But
Italians.
I mean, I liked Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Ohio Players. I mean, I could boogie, man. But
jeez. Forgive them for.
We're singing, stand up for Jesus. Gets up. Sister Brown gets up there. Okay, let me help you, brothers. This little light of mine, I'm going. And me right away. So we kind of gave her a position.
Yeah, we did. Two idiots.
No, we are a. No, we're in a Baptist church. Shh. Because here's why. Before you stone me. Every door we knocked on, I'm Baptist. Like in the suburbs, I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
Over here was I'm Baptist. Oh, we better take Baptist out of there. Christian?
Something.
Something. Does this lady get up there and start speaking in tongues in one of our services? I thank God for you. Hasta la
shantaya. Yeah, I went like this. Just like that. That's all I can do. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay.
One day, it was a cold day in February, sunny. I remember we'd take a little sandwich board and put it out there on Clifford Avenue.
Yeah, Clifford.
Put the signboard, get my key. The key's not working. But he comes, shows up. Hey, man, the key's not working for the door. Girl sticks her head out next door. Are you looking for Raphael? Yeah.
He moved back to Puerto Rico, sold the building.
Oh, boy.
What are we going to do? We put up a sign, no church today, went out to First Bible where our membership was, and that Monday, a girl that we work with, a Christian girl, we told her the story. She goes, if you find a place, I'll pay for the first month. And that Monday night, we would go every Monday night. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what God can do with two guys with a vision. And we wouldn't eat from Sunday night till Tuesday morning.
Right.
There's a little restaurant. It's not there no more. It's called Johnny's on Dewey Avenue.
Yeah.
$1.29, two eggs, home fries, toast, and ham.
Yeah.
You want to see vultures, man, on Tuesday morning. I'd come by to my desk. It's Christmas time. I'm really going off, but too bad. If you don't like it, just go home and you have your Father's Day.
Oh, boy.
Christmas time, they had all the spreads. Everybody would bring all the food. And it's Christmas season, man. And it's Monday, and we're not eating. And he writes this thing on my desk, without food, you die to self.
He'd say to me,
and that girl, and we found a place that Monday night.
Prince Hall Square Club.
And we try to reach people. Let's have a clothes giveaway. And we got all the fancy people or the people that grew out of their clothes from the suburb church and brought them up, and Linda and Nikki and others, they hung them all up, and we went flyer door to door. Now that we're in this new place, we're on two streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, if you'll come to this church service whenever, not at 9 in the morning because you won't get a good attendance, but
no.
A little bit later.
No.
And we'll let you go through and pick out clothes for your family.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a movie night.
Oh, good idea.
What was the name of that Rapture movie in the 60s?
Yeah, what was that?
Thief in the Night.
Yeah. Popcorn, the works.
Listen, we don't have no facilities. We bring air poppers and popcorn and salt. Brother, I know you don't like air popcorn without no butter or oil or nothing. And these kids, man, this is terrible. They're taking it, they're licking it and dipping it in the salt. You can't taste the salt. But we had a vision.
I got a good idea. Let's have a hot dog night. Let's go clean the
that
street.
That was cleanup day. We're going to clean your streets.
Yeah, the ghetto. Okay.
And I'm looking at their floor going, maybe you better start with your floor. But you know what we did? We filled that parking lot with people and rakes and shovels and garbage bags and fed them lunch.
Hey, preacher, tell them about the time we got that used washing machine for that lady, installed it, when she wanted to give us a treat.
We come in.
Oh, man.
Karen, her name is Karen.
Mercy me.
Listen, I was more excited than I am now.
Yeah.
I need to get a washing machine, but I don't have no transport. Well, I had a truck. I said, we'll help you get the washing machine.
Yeah.
And here this girl.
Used.
We pick up this. Now, what are we? 27 and 33?
Nothing.
And we pick up this single black girl that, I'm careful, she didn't like have any undergarments on in the top, and she's sitting between us in my truck.
Again, I'm sitting like this.
Sweating, man. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be seen with this woman.
Jeepers. Oh, man.
We go get the wash machine. We bring it to the house. She goes, I'm going to make you guys some hog head.
What?
Some what? You ain't never had hog head?
She soaks it overnight in her bathtub.
She goes, you got to soak it real good. I go, where do you soak it? In the tub? I was in there. I saw the tub.
She love it. Wow. Bro. Yeah, man. She liked to suck the eyeballs out the head.
Yeah, the eyeballs, you suck them right out.
Listen. Out the head. Yeah, you can
know
have
what's
them.
There? 35 years later.
Yeah.
There's a church down there.
Hey, man.
The two young men.
Yeah.
just wanted to do something for God.
Is that Rochester Bible, yes, Joe?
Rochester Bible Baptist, Pastor L. Cotton.
Yeah.
I think it's on Parcells.
Yeah. Awesome.
None of those things are going to work. I hate to be unfaithful, but none of those things are probably going to work on Hall Road in 2022. But I bet God's got some ideas if somebody would cry out and say, show me something to do.
Sure. Amen. It's good.
You know what birthed this church that you're sitting in enjoying this morning? Two young guys with a vision.
Right.
Who were frankly disheartened and about what fundamentalism was producing in our young people. And about that time where we were, and you understand, if you're here, we're not charismatic. I'm not talking about Joe and Jay. I'm just talking about a burden to do something for God. 1999, United States invaded Iraq, and it was dubbed Operation Desert Storm, and I thought, boy, I'd like to, and I was reading in the Bible. See, this is where you get the vision.
That's true.
It said, and he came into Greece. Well, I lived in Greece.
All right.
Operation Gospel Storm. What if we knocked down every single door in the town of Greece?
Beautiful.
And we did. In the meantime, he gets a vision. Remember, he's got this Sunday school. I think he was the junior pastor or something at this time. He said, I want to have a Sunday school where the parents of the kids are all the counselors. And he starts recruiting Markowski and
Smith.
Smith and all half these people you see. Why don't you come and bring your kids with you? And every day at lunchtime, we would jog 5 miles, if you can believe that. Could we start a church without a formal youth group? Because we both got young families. I'm not really thrilled. And in the time we're meeting Buddy Thigpen and Mark Rose and the Marshall family and Bill Gothard and Denny Kendison, a lot of these people that doctrinally don't line up with us at all. And I wrote this little book called A Generation Which Knew Not the Lord, addressing the alarming number of children who have been raised in Christian homes and are leaving the church. I had very little exposure, so I've probably moderated. I hope that's not a bad word from this, but it was interesting. I thought, hey, if you ever want to read it, I wonder if you can get this online. I go, it's on Amazon. Currently unavailable. I'm thinking, who's making money off of me? Nobody. But I got a vision, you know. There seems to be this movement of these homeschool people that kind of, they're not real thrilled with what's going on in the youth group. Let's go to the homeschool convention and set up. There's like 2,000 people come through there. At least 1,500 are going to want a copy.
At least.
I think we sold 28 the first year. We had cases and cases. The kids were sweating, bringing them in. We made a video. I think we sold 6 video. We had cases and cases. But you know what came from there? The Marizios came from there.
Yeah.
And the Kyles came from there.
Yep.
I got a vision. Let's put... They used to have homeschool magazines. I don't know if they still have them. The ones with the family with 20 kids and you can't tell which one is the mother.
Right.
And we put an ad in there. Looking for a non-age segregated church? We can help. And I'm telling you, in them early days, I'll never forget. I know the Hargetts are here somewhere. I came to the parking lot, and your husband, and Mike Schultz, and who was our friend from New Mexico? Baca. Art Baca. Can I help you? Yeah, we're moving from California and New Mexico to come here.
Do you think you should come to a church service first? Oh, no, we know what we want. They were coming from Pennsylvania, Grand Island, the Marizios. I don't know how many years they drove 4 hours.
Yeah.
Crossing the border, people crossing the border from Canada. But I saw a problem with this. I didn't like this us four and no more. It's all about the family. And we just want our little perfect church.
Funny. Oh, boy.
Now, it looked like we were producing some good things. So here, this was the vision. To the all that matters is souls crowd. And the family's just an afterthought. I got a vision to show them what God could do with some young people with character and respect, etc. If this thing is going to last, we got to carry on. And we're trying to reach people that don't want to be reached and preach people that don't want to be preached to when the kids under our own nose are being neglected. Don't bother me. Go to your little class. I'm building a church. And then for all that matters is the family crowd, I got a vision. No, 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 you're not going to come here and sit here and just soak everything up like a musty sponge. And we went from Belarus to Beale Street to Buffalo to Ukraine to Mexico to Rochester to Brockport to Africa to Mozambique to Papua New Guinea, Romania, Honduras, San Francisco, New York City, Yuri Kravitz in Pennsylvania. Charlie will tell you about that.
Yep.
Parades and air shows and booths at the fair with these homeschool nerds, and we brought them the gospel. I won't get into our vision for music, but I want to just see something for my own. If given a week, listen close, everybody, if given a week, you could, and you were raised in this church, you could play Amazing Grace on any instrument. Would you please stand? If given a week, you could play Amazing Grace on any instrument, piano, one of the, would you please stand? If you could sing parts, would you please stand? You could be seated. And then we saw a little shift. And I'm not being critical, I'm just giving you the facts. I told you we're going to get to history, and I'm finishing up. And something that used to be anathema, and that came from the top, and I no longer think it's anathema, but it seemed like organized sports and secular university became a priority. Became just a regular staple. And I'm not against it. And the proof of that is that I've been to at least 50 of your basketball games when you played for the school of the blind paraplegics, and I cheered you on. I mean, I was, you know, these guys, they think. I was at David Valley's basketball game at North Star. See, I get into it. I say, where you are, get into it, man.
Right.
And North Star was winning. We're in the gym over at North Star on Lyle there. And they only had like two or three cheerleaders, North Star. Little skinny girls, you know. Well, they're playing this school that's got this cheerleading team. And so it was halftime, and the North Star three girls did their thing, and then the other big school. And I stand up. You could have heard a pin drop after the big school got done. And I go, they got more, but look at the score.
Joe.
And this guy stands up and says, you got to be kidding me. I said, oh, the pastor's going to get arrested in a fight. I'm not opposed to it. You that go out and get these educations, we gladly receive your tithes. Not opposed to it. I no longer believe everyone needs to be a landscaper. No offense, Joel. We have a group. It's not a church activity. And you're not invited if you weren't personally invited, but they play baseball on Tuesday nights. Man, they play hard.
Right.
I mean, I was getting dusty. Me and skinny Dave Corona back there. We go to watch. So obviously I'm not opposed. I think they play basketball in here a night a week anyways. They play hard. Remember, was it Cornerstone that beat that won the whole thing that one? Man, we thought that was the NBA, Curry and...
But man, when Charlie showed that video Wednesday night of them singing about converting our children to, you can imagine, go back and look at it. I thought, what if these kids played that hard for God?
I watched that thing, and after a surge of rage, I thought, yeah, Lord, give me a vision. Give our young people a vision to reach their children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Does your vision for sports and your future and all that compare with your vision for the souls that Jesus Christ died for? Pastor Folk, could you come up here a minute? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. You just sit over there. First Samuel chapter 3. It's funny. I'm going to read something about eyes getting dim, and I need these glasses to see this. And I promise this will be it. And then we'll go home. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. He's the little guy. He's the new guy. He's the young guy. The Lord called Samuel. He probably called Samuel because Eli couldn't see too good anymore. He didn't have the vision he used to have. Why? That's what happens when you get old.
Right. It's true.
Samuel said, here am I. Of course, he thought it was Eli. You know the story. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose, went to Eli, and he said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that it was the Lord that called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. It shall be that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And he had a great ministry. I know you don't understand it. I'm not writing my epitaph right now. I know you don't believe it because we are so energetic and we look so much younger than we really are. And our messages as of late have been so powerful and dynamic. But when you hit doing it for four decades, your vision begins to get a little dim.
That's true. Very true.
6 months and 2 weeks. He's gone.
Not dead.
Not dead.
Not dead.
I used to pray, God, give me a vision. Now I'm praying, I hope I don't have to have brain surgery, Lord. I hope I make it in the MRI tube. We have a solid vision, I promise you, for the transition of this ministry that's going to take place in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And I know the young man coming in here has vision, or he wouldn't be a missionary.
Right.
But I
wonder what yours is. I wonder if you say, God, give me something creative. And I'm for the door now. We had a world's record of 5 people yesterday knocking on the door. I'm glad about it. 6. God, let me see where I'm at as a mission field. Mm-hmm. Give me a vision. You know what I like about John? He didn't know it all.
Right.
He questioned the whole thing halfway through. Is he the Christ? But he gave it all he had. I'm not talking about a leader. I'm not talking about another pastor. I'm not talking about a coup attempt. I'm not talking about, I'm going to take over. I'm talking about, God, how can you use me?
Yeah. Amen.
God, give me a vision in my job, in my school, in my church. I'm a grandparent now.
Yeah.
I know you that are visiting, hard to believe. Especially hard to believe 20 times over. And this message is ruminating in me. And that little boy that unfortunately reminds me of his father and me that was up here saying they let us sleep over their house. I got this vision, this message ruminating, and I'm looking at these boys sitting there yesterday. I said, man, I need a grandparent's vision.
Yes.
You know what my son-in-law told me? He said, Dad, forget the parenting class. You need to teach a grandparenting class.
Yeah.
Or an in-law class. Let your kids be adults.
Right.
See, I'm trying to prop the guy up, and look what I get. Listen. When they're married, you no longer have any authority over
that's
them.
A fact. That is a fact.
I have no expectations. And guess what? They want to build houses in the back 40. Let's all live together and have a commune. No way. And I got this vision. I said, hey, Michael, listen, if there's a baseball game, all of a sudden, Michael is Babe Ruth. He shows up. He's got the cleats the other night, the hat. He's got the bag with the balls. And whew, I didn't know this kid played baseball. He's up there playing with the T-shirt league in Greece while these guys are playing baseball. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, Poppy. They told me that if they're here next week, I could come out there. If they're shooting guns, he's got all the latest. Man, don't mess with him. He got BB guns in there and everything. I said, Michael, if you get a vision for God, nothing will stop you.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Amen.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah. Listen, I told my wife, I said, if we were 23 years old, we wouldn't change a thing.
No.
We'd do it all again. So me and Graham's, we're thinking about, just so you know, we're thinking about an old people's ministry. That's my vision, really. We're going to minister to old folks.
Listen, where I pretend I snowbird for a little bit. In February, when I was in that hospital, I had no less than 4 or 5 people texting me from, and I thought, how am I going to fit in with these old people? And I realized some of them are younger than me.
Right, right.
Listen, if you're not singing, open my eyes.
Yeah.
Would you pray, God, give me a vision? You that are on the second half of life, would you pray, God, give the meat of this church vision? And I'll tell you what, you'll see new faces in this church in 365 days, or Pastor Folk will buy you breakfast, I guarantee you. Let's sing.
Okay, 297.
297.
Come on now. Maybe I'll come to the altar and say, Lord, I'd like a vision. I'm 20 years old. I'm 25 years old. I can't. What an idea. Go to a local gym or a local open park, start shooting some hoops, and you are going to get people coming to you.
How's that for visitation? You don't even have to face their scowl. Listen.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Old men get a little weary.
Yeah.
Renew my vision.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
297. Here we go. Open.
things that I may see.
Yes, give me a vision.
Of truth thou hast
Let's
for
convert
me.
Their children.